Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Thanks for joining us today for Gospel Rain, where today we're going to be taking on a tough subject, especially for Micah and me.
Amen.
It's the subject of love and romance in marriage. And we've got with us today two experts in love and romance. That would be our wives. Are you nervous, Micah? You nervous about the conversation?
Not yet, but Meredith's already talked already without... She's ready.
We're looking forward to a great podcast where we get an opportunity just to sit down with our wives and talk a little bit about love and romance, and hopefully to help maybe some younger couples out there, that kind of thing. So we'll get into it in just a minute. But Meredith, I want you to go first. Meredith is Micah's wife, and you can talk about how long you've been married if you want to do that. How long have you been married? And here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to talk about how you and Micah met and how you began your relationship that maybe led to marriage.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Matt. Thank you for having us. Micah and I have been married for 18 years. We met when I was a senior in high school, and he was a freshman at Blue Mountain College. I must say, this is kind of romantic. He was the first guy that I've ever loved. And
really? Is that true?
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First time I've heard that. No, I'm
kidding. We dated for a little while when I was in high school, and I went to Northeast. We broke up for a little bit, and then the Lord brought me to Blue Mountain College, and we rekindled our relationship at Blue Mountain. He began wooing me very quickly when I came on the campus and told all the guys there, you cannot ask Meredith Roten out. She is off limits. So that kind of made my playing field a little smaller, but...
Yeah, if wooing means boxing her in and she has no choice in pursuing her, that's exactly what
I okay. So we began dating once I went to Blue Mountain College and got engaged and got married.
Mm-hmm. So Nikki, how about you guys? How did you and Matt meet and begin your relationship? How long have you been married? And tell us a little bit more about your life together.
Okay, well, this past October, Matt and I have been married 20 years.
What?
That's a long time.
That's awesome.
We met at ICC, or Itawamba Community College, in Fulton, Mississippi. We were both in the theater program there, and we were cast as husband and wife in a dinner theater.
Well.
And throughout rehearsing in the dinner theater, he asked me out on our first date. And we've been dating ever since. We dated for a year and got married a year later.
You know, when we were cast as husband and wife, we actually got a chance to kiss.
I was going to ask
before
that.
Before we ever even dated. How about that?
Did y'all practice that a lot?
Yeah, we did. We tried. No, we didn't. We didn't try it too often, although I wanted to. But anyway, yeah, good. That's how. So 20 years, that's a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't claim to be experts. Y'all don't. We don't claim to be experts. But in order for us to talk about marriage, I think with a biblical foundation, gospel foundation, we need to at least examine a couple of different scriptures. There's a lot of them. I mean, we could name a number of scriptures in the Bible that we could examine, but let's talk about two of them in particular. First of all, Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 25 at least, and then Ephesians chapter 5 is probably the most prominent we might use in churches today when we talk about marriage. Chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Now, Micah, what I want you to do just for a moment, if you can, is explain what these passages mean for us when we talk about marriage.
Well, it's God's idea. I think that's the most important thing we get from Genesis chapter 2, is that when he created humans in his image, he created us male and female. And the way that the story unfolds in chapter 2 of Genesis is that God created man, and then he had all of these animals, and none of them were suitable as a partner for him. And so this beautiful story, how the Lord took a rib from his side and created woman, Eve, for Adam, is such a beautiful thing, and that's God's design. And so as the end of chapter 2 kind of comes in Genesis, what does he say? That a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and become one flesh. And you mentioned Ephesians chapter 5, Paul picks up on that one flesh union to talk about how the husband and wife go together in a relationship of love and respect. But Paul's point is that everything happening way back in Genesis chapter 2 was designed to reflect what Christ and the church in reality,
right,
are in their relationship. And so our marriages are not just for each other. They're really to be a reflection of a deeper spiritual principle in Christ's relationship with his church.
All right, so when we open chapter 5 in Ephesians, it begins, Paul talks to two different groups of people, right? A wife and then a husband. But then he begins with particular instructions to wives.
Yeah.
Now, this is always one of our favorite passages of Scripture, because it talks about this ugly word in our culture right now, which is submission.
Oh, for sure.
So take us through that. What does Paul mean if you read that verse, and then explain a little bit about what he means by the word submission?
Yeah, we should probably ask the wives what they think about that first. But
a willingness to yield.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. And that phrase, a disposition to yield, is something that John Piper and Wayne Grudem talked about in their 50 questions related to manhood and biblical manhood and womanhood. And it's an important thing, because if you go back to Genesis 2 and 3, when sin enters the picture, it affects everything. It affects human relationships right off the bat. And part of that is a disposition of the husband to have dominion, or to dominate his wife, to rule over, is the term used in Genesis. And so, you know, the other thing is that a wife has a disposition because of sin now to usurp and to desire her husband, which biblical scholars kind of disagree on the interpretation of that, but to lead. And so submission is that it's a disposition to build her life up under her husband's leadership. And the other side of the coin is what the responsibility of the husband is, and we can talk about that in just a minute.
But Meredith, when we talk about the idea of submission in a marriage, particularly I know we can champion, as husbands, we can champion that verse, but what about you and Nikki as wives? What does that word submission mean to you? It's not taken well in our culture right now by women who would take that word and say men or our husbands are trying to lord over us or be something they're not supposed to be, or put their thumb on us and that kind of thing. So what would submission to you ladies look like, and what does that mean? What does that mean to you?
The word itself, it doesn't offend me, because I know it's God's idea and his design. And in order for me to please the Lord in my relationship with him and my relationship with Micah, I want to be obedient to what he's called us to do. I don't have to fight for that. And like Micah said, I think submission is just a disposition to yield, to surrender. And when I learned very on that to build my life underneath Micah and to push him forward, I don't know, I wasn't tug of warring with him. I put him before myself. And I don't know, I just think.
Yeah, and submission is not, as Russell Moore says, to demand, woman, go in the kitchen and give me some chips. You know, that's not the biblical idea of submission, where she must do everything that I say at any point. I think the disposition to yield is she understands that she's equal to me.
Yes.
And that we have a conversation and we come together to pray and to think through issues. And at the end of the day, you know, if we want to talk about the other side of the coin, headship and leadership, I'm responsible at the end of the day, before God, how I manage my home and we lead together. And I think that's...
And I don't want his job.
Yeah, it's a heavy...
It's much easier to submit and follow his leadership than it is for me to try to tug of war and make something happen.
Well, this is what I was about to ask. I know Nikki is my wife, but I'll ask her the question. Is submission easier as a wife, or is that a hard thing as a wife?
I guess you would have to... Depending on the time of day, depending on what year it is in our marriage. But for the most part, I really agree with what Meredith has said, that I would much rather submit, because I know that's God's design for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that God's going to lead you, my husband, in the ways that we should go. And I'm thrilled at that. And as I lift you up in prayer and as I pray, I'm thankful that God's going to lead you and our family. And he expects me to submit to your leadership. I don't take that as a being inferior or being weaker in the wrong sense. Adrian Rogers once said that gold was a much weaker metal than steel, but it was far more precious.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And I've always loved that, because just because I'm called the weaker doesn't mean I'm inferior.
That's good. And in our relationship with the Lord, it works sort of the same way. When we submit to him, there's freedom in that. There's when we submit to his lordship in our life, his leadership in our life, his guidance, there's freedom there. So there's a second part to Ephesians chapter 5. We talk about submission, but then it goes on from there to begin to talk about the husband's role in a marriage, which, by the way, in that passage is much lengthier than the passage about submission. So explain a little bit about what Paul gives as commands to a husband and how to love his wife.
This is where it gets really heavy for men. I mean, this is a profound analogy that he puts right at the feet of men to say, just as Christ sacrificed himself for the church, so also we're to sacrifice ourselves, literally lay our lives down for our wives. And, you know, this is how this works so well together, is when you talk about love and you talk about respect, that's rooted in issues that are Christ-like and Christ-centered. That I, when I look at my wife, it's not that I'm going to demand of her anything, but I'm going to seek her and I'm going to sacrifice for her, because Christ did that for me. You know, and he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And so when I stand before God someday, hopefully I have treated her in such a way that reflects his love for us as the church, his the way he laid down his life that we might know God better, and the way that we live our lives on a day-to-day basis is it's a pursuit of that kind of love, that kind of unconditional, sacrificial love. It's not based on, you know, how she's acting toward me today, what she does for me, but it's purely because I love her and I want to give my life for her.
Well, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 to give us a little bit more practical, hands-on, here's how you show love to each other. And Ephesians 5 may be that sort of that theological backdrop for us to understand marriage. And then 1 Corinthians 13, a little bit more specific things. Now, Paul didn't write that chapter in the context of marriage. We know that. We read it a lot of times at weddings and in those kind of situations. But in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is really dealing with the practical aspects of how to live out love. And he mentions a number of things. Love goes on, and he mentions, I can't remember how many things, I'd have to count them again, but there's a number of things that Paul mentions there. But ultimately, what we find out from that passage is that love is a verb. Love is an action thing. And so when we talk about loving each other's husbands and wives, it's not just about words, right? We can be guilty of that. I've been guilty of that in my marriage with Nikki. I've been guilty of just saying, I love you, but not showing it. But what we find out in the Bible, and there's plenty of application here to marriage, is that when we say we love each other, it ought to be backed by action. Love is a verb. Now, I know we haven't gone through and totally exegeted these passages and those kind of things, but hopefully this is enough to at least get conversation started out there with our listeners about what marriage is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like. Again, we've not been married long enough, either one of us, to know everything there is to know about marriage. We've got people in our churches that are much older, much wiser, been married much longer than we have. Right. But I do think we've been married enough, long enough, to have known some things, to have learned some things about these things, all right? But I'm going to start with Nikki, my wife, and I'm going to ask her this question, and y'all, we can sort of share together. But Nikki, what would you say are some of the most important things that you've learned about love and romance and marriage? And I will tell you, I warn you, this is PG rated. At least name one thing that you think that you've learned about love and romance and marriage.
Well, one thing I've learned about all the exegetical stuff you keep talking about. Do our listeners know, do they know about all these extra Jesuses that you're putting in?
That's a good question.
I've learned basically like what we talked earlier about submission. It doesn't work when we're both trying to be the head, and it doesn't work when we're both trying to be the sacrifice. I try my best to love you like I want to be loved, and to treat you like I want to be treated, and not depending on how you are that day or how you feel, but I need to love you unconditionally. And that sounds so easy to do, but it is a daily practice that you have to try. And I know we haven't discussed conflict yet, but I have learned that even as long as we've been married, sometimes when that conflict wants to creep up, I really think, is it really worth it? No, and I can just let it go. Mm-hmm. Did that thing he just said, is it worth a conflict, or is it better just to not say anything, not retaliate? And I think you would say the same. Sometimes when we can see where we could head down a path of arguing or not getting along, we can see it coming and totally turn the other way.
I'd say, too, we've learned a lot about that. We've grown tremendously in that. It was not that easy, you know, to deal with conflict in a marriage. Therefore, when you let conflict rule, there is no love and romance. Right. I mean, it sort of goes out the window because you're being ruled by conflict.
I was just going to say, you know, listening to Nikki's answer there, that's a really good application of 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, all that it said about being kind and not keeping a record of wrongs and those kinds of things, you know, that is it worth it? I mean, and if I do love my spouse, you know, is this a hill on which to die? This particular argument, this kind of thing, and love drives that, and it becomes really practical in some sense. What about you, Matt? I mean, you got, what's one thing you learned?
Stuff I've learned, and I wasn't
love,
prepared
romance?
For the question. I'm not prepared for the question. No, I will say this. After 20 years of marriage, I never thought this after 5 years of marriage, but after 20 years of marriage, I can say I am happier in marriage and love Nikki more than I ever thought I could or would. And I think I speak for both of us. We love each other more now than we ever have. Even after, you know, career and moving and kids and problems and all those kind of things, God has used all that to grow us together. Now, we're not perfect. We still have our issues, but I guess we do. Should I say that? We have our issues.
You have issues.
I have issues. I have lots of issues. But I think we're happier now than we ever have been.
That's good.
So it's marriage right now. Marriage right now is a lot of fun.
So Meredith, what about you? What have you learned?
Well, I have learned, you know, I think when we all get married, we think that those little romantic feelings, whatever carried you in your courtship, you know, that your marriage is going to be sustained by those things. And I think reality probably sets in very quickly that though we love each other, we're two sinners married to one another, trying to make this all work out. And one thing that I have learned is love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And did you say that? I think you said, did you say that, Nikki, that you may not feel like loving Matt this day, but you are going to choose to love him no matter what your feelings. You don't let your feelings drive you. You let, it's a choice. So that's one thing that I've learned.
And I'm not perfect at it, but it sounds really good
coming out of my mouth. I bet you're really close.
But, you know, we've also learned how our feelings can't drive us at all, because our feelings
are subjective.
So we have to rely on the truth.
Especially as the ladies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Michael, what about you? Name one thing that you've learned about love and romance in your marriage?
Meredith and I were talking about this just recently, and I guess I would summarize it this way. It would be that God made Meredith a unique person, and to love her is to love her as God made her. And there's a way in which she receives love, you know, and we talk a lot about this book called The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Yeah, great book.
You know, and it's the paradigm that he gives is so helpful because in other words, if she's quality time and I'm not spending quality time with her, then as he puts it, her love tank is not filling up. And if I'm just trying to throw gifts at her, you know, and it's just not communicating the same way, right? But so that's what I've kind of learned over time is, as I've studied her, that, man, there really is a way in which she receives love. And if I can fill that love tank in, then romance might be easier achieved.
You used a good word that I think, I know, and personally in my marriage, I could probably apply a lot more. Where you said you study her. I think that's where a lot of men I know that I have talked to, and even myself, we don't do enough of, where we may not study our wives. You know, it's this thing, I dated Nikki, I won her, right? I won her
you
love.
You conquered her.
Right, I put a ring on it. I put a ring on it. And so when I did, it's like, I've got her now.
I'm done.
And now she's mine.
I'm done.
And, we're done with that. But I think a good principle for husbands would be to continue to study our wives, continue to study what makes them tick, what makes them happy, what makes them unhappy, all that stuff. I mean, we should study these things about our wives. And I'm afraid a lot of our men in churches have stopped doing that because they already have her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guilty of that too, in many ways, honestly. I mean, if you look back in our courtship, of course, that's like 20 years ago, that obviously I was trying to win her and woo her. But even today, you know, the pursuit is still a pursuit. You know, it is, love is a choice, love is a commitment, love is a pursuit. And so, you know, what, as we are kind of dwindling down our time a little bit, I wonder if we could go around the table and, okay, so for younger couples that have been married a little bit, if there's one nugget of advice, and it doesn't necessarily have to be love and romance, but maybe so, since this is the episode's topic, what would you say, Matt, why don't you kick us off on this, what would you say, just kind of one nugget to give to maybe a younger married couple about love and romance?
The thing I would probably say, particularly to husbands, is your wife needs to know that she can trust you. Not that we've had problems necessarily with this in our marriage a lot, or I don't know that Nikki has. Maybe she needs to be the one to speak to it. But I do know this, that if a wife cannot trust the fact that she alone holds that place in his life, then there is not going to be security in their relationship. She's not going to be able to trust what he does.
That's good, Matt.
Who he's talking to, who he's texting, who he's seeing, those kind of things. Relationships at the office, relationship, you know, somewhere down the road, whatever. If she can't trust him totally, there's not going to be this strong, growing relationship. There's always going to be something between them. And I would tell any husband out there, if you have any reason to make your wife not trust you, where you won't let her look at your phone, you don't want to tell her details about your life, that's got to stop, because your relationship's not going to grow. So a healthy, growing relationship has got to have trust both ways.
And love really does grow in the soil of trust, man. Yeah. I mean, it just flourishes there.
So what about you? What would you mention?
Well, Meredith and I both come from divorced homes. And when we were dating, even in our dating, and we fought quite a good bit. We'll talk about conflict next time, but we fought quite a bit. But even as we were moving closer to marriage, we always looked at each other and said, "We're never going to divorce. It's just not an option. Yeah. It's never even on the table. We're not even going to talk the word." And look, even in 18 years of marriage, we've had some hard times, man. We've not conducted ourselves well. We haven't been walking in the Spirit. There have been some times of great stress and pressure through life. But even through those difficult times, we made a commitment to each other that, you know, I'm sticking with you. And there today may be a difficult day to stick together, but man, we're gonna stick together. Tomorrow will be a better day.
Divorce is not gonna be
not
an option. We don't even say it. We've never said it. We've never played around with it as an option or try to manipulate each other.
Yep.
You know, into something by using that.
Because it's so easy, even in the church, for people to get divorced for major things and minor things. But the gospel is reconciliation. If we can constantly reconcile through things, I think it's important.
Well, Nikki, what about you? What's one thing that you would say in response to Micah's question?
I think it's important to surround yourself with healthy marriages. It's really easy to be around a group of women who bash their husbands, or a group of single women who are single maybe for a reason and hate men now because they've been treated poorly or whatever. And it's easy if you, especially you're a woman that wants to help out or understand the way they feel, and you may find yourself wanting to be a part of that group, you know, going out to dinner with them, hanging out, and instead hang around people that have healthy relationships, share those things. Don't bash your husband in public or around other people. Don't talk about his flaws, you know. So I just think it's important to be around other people who are also trying to have healthy relationships.
And I would say too, and not because Nikki's sitting here, but that's one of the things that I've always had confidence in about Nikki, is that I can know when she's out with other friends, I'm not getting bashed.
Right.
I'm not the bad guy all of a sudden.
That's
let me
right.
tell you how bad he, you know, what he screwed up yesterday, what he did bad, how he messed this up. Let me tell you about how, you know, I've always had confidence that I'm not getting torn down when she's not with me. And she especially doesn't do it when we're together. But I always have had confidence that she doesn't tear me down. Mm-hmm. And that I know that I can trust her in that, and that gives me security, knowing that I'm she's going to treat me always like the love of her life, even around her friends.
Right.
And
right.
it's not bashing when I tell them about the underwear I ordered for you in the mail.
Simmer down. PG. PG here. Hold up.
That's not bashing at all. All right, Meredith, what do you say?
Well, I don't know if this is where you're going, but this is something early on that I learned early on in my marriage. I thought when we got married, so as a newlywed, that all my wildest dreams were going to come true, you know, that I would never be lonely again.
Wait, that hasn't happened?
Are you sure?
Sorry, babe.
Are you saying
I'm sorry.
Your dreams didn't come
all
true?
All my wildest dreams have come true. But in reality, we are not meant to be satisfied in a person. Mm-hmm. We're other than Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And that I learned that my satisfaction, I'll never be fully happy or satisfied if I'm depending on Micah for my happiness or our relation for my happiness, but to continue to just grow my relationship in the Lord. Does that make sense,
yeah,
Matt? Like,
yeah, it does.
Being satisfied in Christ, because as awesome of a husband as he is, he's still human, and so am I.
Well, I like that. Nikki and I have talked about that before. We've talked a lot about that before, where we're not careful, we can quickly put the other one first place in our life.
Like, and when they do become an idol,
right?
Then everything gets off.
That's exactly right.
Kilter.
We found that the closer we get to Jesus individually, the closer we get to each other,
and the more you show selfless love and sacrificial love.
That's right. That's right. Let me ask you, ladies, just a question in just a minute for this, and then, Mike, I'll let you close this up. We can be influenced a lot by what we see on TV and movies. Two people married, or two people not married, and they're in some kind of a love relationship, and you can see this all over the place, right? Is real love, in your opinion, is real love like it you see it on TV in the movies?
Real love is washing dirty underwear.
Y'all are sure talking.
That's
about
a good answer.
It really is. The toilets,
yes,
the bathroom,
cleaning toilets,
washing dishes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's true love. I think we should write a card.
Yeah.
All those healthy relationships, those ladies are buying our cards.
Yes.
But, you know, that's real life. They're not showing that on all these, you know, knight in shining armor in movies and stuff.
That is true. And I think a lot of what we see on TV is really, really, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Well, I just think one of the main faux pas on TV is that you go to bed all lovey-dovey and all this going on, and then the next morning, like, it's stayed going on all night long.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. I mean, that's not reality. That's exactly right. Well, that's where a lot of our young people, especially teenagers, are seeing that kind of thing.
Right.
And I hate that they have to see that as an example, because it's a lie. That's not real life. Real life love is commitment. It's hard work. It's effort. It's fun. Yeah. We laugh and we giggle, but it's a balance, you know. It's a balance between them both.
That's right. And, when you know, it's one of those things where when you wake up in the morning, my breath stinks.
Amen.
You know.
And how does Meredith know?
Nikki's hair's all over the place. You know, that's one of the things about they don't show you on TV, right? That's not this glamorous picture of marriage and love and romance that we see on the movies and TV. So a lot of our young people just have a bad idea. And it is hard work, but like you say, I agree with you, Meredith, it's a lot of fun,
it's very
rewarding.
Amen.
It is.
This conversation has been a lot of fun.
It has.
It really has. And time has flown by. We try to keep them, you know, episodes to 25 or 30 minutes. And ladies, we have a little tradition we do at the end of our podcast called One More Thing. And we just kind of throw something out there for our listening audience. One more thing. It doesn't have to necessarily be tied to the podcast episode topic itself. But Nikki, let me put you on the spot. And just whatever you'd like to share. One more thing for our audience to know. Maybe something about yourself, something about Matt. Anything goes.
Oh, my one more thing. Of course, it will have to be about Matt. This will be the only chance that I'll get to say, if you're ever around Matt, please mention polyester. Matt has a thing about his hands sweating, whether they are or not. His hands are in the air right now because he can't
his
stand the thought.
His face is turning red right now.
Of touching
Love
polyester,
it.
Like
Love
choir
it.
Robes or suit pants. So if you ever see Matt out or in church and you mention polyester, he's not going to shake your hand.
Look, the next podcast is going to be a conflict, and this is what we're going to have to deal with. Yes, my hands are in the air now. I hate this.
That's wonderful.
All right, so
I'm trying to think of some dirt on you, Micah. What can I tell?
It doesn't have to be dirt. It could be one more thing about yourself. Anything.
I would say, you know, you'd never know this from looking at Micah, but he loves rap music. Now,
it's
Christian rap.
That's true.
We have a lot of Christian rap.
I do, too.
And the boy cannot dance, but he loves...
No, I can dance.
He loves rap music. So
Never would have thought that. Ever. Never.
Yeah, we should do an episode on that sometime.
We should. Let's do that.
Rap.
No. I didn't say
okay,
no.
Okay,
you
okay,
should
okay,
rap.
Okay.
I said we should do an episode.
That's a rap.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is a rap. And so this will actually be part one of a two-part series with Nikki and Meredith, and we're thrilled to have them in the studio with us. We want to thank you for listening to Gospel Rain, and we hope that you'll be back with us next week. The plot thickens as we talk about communication and conflict in marriage. So you'll want to join us, and it should be a lot of fun. See you back next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.